Welcome to another special episode of Science Nights. Today we are discussing the Cassini Grand Finale. So yeah. if you don't know what Cassini is, it's a space probe that has been exploring the Saturn system since 2004, when it became the first spacecraft to orbit Saturn.
13 years?
Yeah. It was originally just going to be like a 4-year-long mission, and they kept extending it, so.
Yeah. So Friday, September 15th, is a milestone on two marks. Cassini's going to dive into the middle of Saturn, and I'll have gone 30 times around the sun. So they're both monumental occasions, but one is like...
One's a lot further away.
One's celestial, one's terrarian. Terrarian, I guess we'd call it. Terrestrial.
So I figured we kind of just real quick go over a little bit about Cassini. It was a unmanned robotic spacecraft. It was a collaboration between NASA, ESA, so the European Space Agency, and ISA, the Italian Space Agency. I believe it cost...
It cost a lot of moolah.
Yeah.
$3.26 billion.
Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. That's across three nations, too. Well, the European Union's a huge thing, so it's across two continents.
Right. Before launch, I think there was about, like, I think there was 17 nations all working together.
Right on.
As of now, I think the NASA site said its total is, like, 27 or something.
Billion.
So. 27 different nations, working, or at least scientists, right? Scientists and engineers from gotcha. All those different nations.
And just like anything NASA or JPL does, they probably have a replica of the probe here on Earth.
I would think so. I don't know exactly when they started doing that or not, but I would assume they do. At the very least, they have models of it, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
If not the same size like they do with Curiosity.
So it's actually called the Cassini-Huygens mission, and that's Huygens, H-U-I-G-E-N.
Huygens, because apparently that's the best we can pronounce it since we're not Dutch.
Yeah.
And we can't go like, ha.
Well, you just did. I mean.
Yeah, I doubt I did that right, though.
and I guess I didn't know this, but the Cassini mission is two parts. There's one for Saturn, and then there's one for... a lander going to Titan. I didn't know about the Titan lander.
Mm. Yeah, so it was the first, the farthest landing we've ever made mm-hmm. on a body. Still today, I believe. So
Titan's a moon of Saturn.
Yes. Yeah. Titan's like was one of the first discovered moons of Saturn. So it was Christian Huygens that actually discovered Titan
in 1655.
Yeah, that's why it's named after him.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then
why wasn't the moon named after him?
Which or what?
Titan. Why do they call it Titan, not Huygens?
Oh, I don't know. Well, he named it, I would assume.
Okay.
So, and it probably still just went with, I don't know, like the way of naming things back then. So it was all like either Greek,
Roman.
Right, yeah. Stuff like that.
Well, Saturn's a Titan. Saturn himself is he's a Titan. He's a Roman Titan.
Mm, okay.
So calling his moon a Titan is a little weird.
Maybe also just because how big it is? I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
And then Cassini was named after Giovanni Cassini, who also discovered, he discovered the next four moons of Saturn.
Yeah.
And also noted the division in the rings, because before then we couldn't really tell.
We all just thought it was one ring.
Yeah.
To rule them all.
And so now that division is called the Cassini division.
Right on. It's also interesting to note that Cassini is the fourth spacecraft to visit Saturn or go past it. There was Pioneer 11 in 79, Voyager 1 and 2 in 80 and 81.
Yeah. Yeah, so much we've learned from the Voyagers.
Oh, yeah.
They were kind of the prelude to this mission, you know?
I was hoping you were going to say Pioneer, and I was like, it's not a Pioneer.
but they definitely, NASA definitely took stuff that they learned from those missions, too, for the Cassini-Huygens mission.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of those things that you can definitely talk about is the number of flybys that they used to get it to Saturn, to get Cassini to Saturn.
Yeah, flybys and gravity assist. So mm-hmm.
So like, for instance, Voyager 1 and 2 used Jupiter and Mars to do gravity assist flybys to get out of the solar system, right?
Right.
So Cassini had to use gravity assists around Venus twice and Earth once and then Jupiter once.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Just to get it up to speed to get out to Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it would just come back. Yeah. It was a bit of a rough start getting it launched. There was another mission that was supposed to launch with it, but it ended up getting canceled. There was like some changes and going on in NASA administration. They were trying to like get more, I guess, more efficient missions, you know. And this one was considered like a flagship mission. It was very expensive.
Yeah.
And had all of the scientific equipment they could stick on it. But it ended up staying, and luckily it...
And
it
launched on October 15th, 1997. I was 10. That's interesting. It launched on October 15th, and it's terminating September 15th. 20-year mission, almost 20 years to the day.
Yeah.
Interesting. And just a little, oh, it's very interesting. Just say
It took Cassini 7 years to get to Saturn from
Earth.
Yeah,
yeah. And then it was in December, after Cassini had arrived at Saturn, it was in December, right near Christmas of 2004, that Huygens separated from Cassini and landed on Titan. And the separation happened December 23rd. The landing happened on the 13th of January. That's weird. Yeah. That's such a huge separation. Because think about like the lunar lander separating from Apollo, right?
Right.
That took a half hour.
And I imagine that was pretty stressful for JPL's team, exactly. Having to wait for the data. Because they had to relay the data from the lander through Cassini, you know, the orbiter and then back to Earth.
Jeez.
Yeah.
The descent lasted 2.5 hours, and the batteries on the probe lasted for 72 minutes on the surface.
Yeah.
Two and a half hours, like, so whatever, 13 days worth of travel.
Right.
And then 2.5 hour descent, 72 minutes of battery life, and then that's it.
Yeah. We did get a lot of data from that, and that's where they learned about a lot of the lakes of hydrocarbons on the surface of Titan. So methane, ethane, mm-hmm. You know. And we got some interesting pictures from the surface, too. It's a very rocky world. There'll probably be one somewhere.
Yeah, I figured. It'll
probably be over there, actually. But,
yeah. You know. Just cover this. There's a ton of interesting things that happened from the creation to the launch and landing of Huygens and the, you know, orbiting of Cassini. We didn't start talking about it until last year on Waiting for Players, and maybe it was this year. And we didn't actually start seeing any of the cool pictures from it until this year. For instance, one of the ones that I'm thinking of from Cassini is the hexagonal storm that's at the north pole of Saturn.
Yes.
That is weird because normally nature doesn't have sided shapes.
Right. When they you think of like fluids moving and stuff, you think of it like a spiral in a
circle.
Right.
But in on Saturn, there's a like it's got angles and stuff.
Yeah.
On it. And it, you know, they're rough, they're rounded, but like they're not perfectly drawn. Adam's going to show you the picture.
Yeah.
But it's just interesting that like I've never thought that we'd see that in space. Like even the big red dot on Jupiter is an oval.
Right, right. Yeah. And apparently, as far as I understand, it has to do with just, like, its sheer size and pressure of the fluid moving. That's just something fluid does at that size and pressure.
Let's recreate
I'm
that.
I'm sure.
I'm looking forward to recreating that.
We need to go really far out somewhere to get enough space.
Like Nevada.
A lot of the ring structure and moons were discovered. There was quite a few moons discovered, actually.
From Cassini?
Mm-hmm.
Around Saturn?
That we never knew about before because we didn't have anything sensitive enough to look at it until Cassini got there.
I'm pretty sensitive, I could. This is where John's like, yeah, witness.
So I believe the total comes out to like 62 moons now.
Wow.
Natural satellites around.
Wow.
Around Saturn, and one of them is, I think it's in the G ring. It's the moon like orbits inside the ring, so it makes the separation in the rings.
Really?
It also creates little ripples along the rings.
That's awesome. Yeah.
We got a lot of pictures.
There's a celestial body that like carves a hole in the ring.
That the rings are basically like
I know they're miles apart.
Well, but they're basically like a breeding ground.
Okay.
So the rings
Four moons.
Are constantly like, you know, snow and rock like coalescing and then being torn apart again because of Saturn's gravity.
Gravity, yeah. Okay. It's just hot, like it's always. I mean, for most part, people contextualize Saturn's rings as, oh, it's pretty dust around the rings of Saturn. It's
right.
Oh, look how pretty it is.
Yeah. No.
No.
Apparently, it's extremely active and chaotic.
Yeah.
One of the most chaotic systems we've seen in the solar system, at least.
Makes you wonder about them around Uranus or Neptune. See, like, if those are also doing
the
same thing.
I'm sure when we actually do send things out that way, it'll blow our minds, the things that they discover.
Yeah.
So. kind of an interesting fact, on April 7, 2004, Cassini took pictures of two storms merging together into one larger storm on Saturn.
So it arrived at Saturn July 1st, 2004.
Yeah.
So it noticed
this,
that it coming
this
up
was,
to it.
Yeah, approach. This was pictures on its way up. I think it started taking pictures like 3 months before or so.
Gotcha.
And then because they did a camera. They actually did a camera test like 2 years before it got to Saturn.
Gotcha.
Just to make sure everything's still working, you know?
Yeah, right. Hello,
don't
want to
get there
alive?
And be like, oh, man. Start all over.
That would suck.
Right.
Hey, Bob, you know how you came into NASA like when we launched this thing and you were like, oh, it's too expensive. Turns out you were right. Sorry, Bob. NASA administrator's name's Bob, by the way.
I'm sure there probably are some.
There's at least one Robert in NASA. He's like the janitor.
Saturn's always been one of my personal favorite planets.
Sure, man. It's the prettiest.
I had to pick one. I think a lot of people would probably say that too.
Yeah.
So it's awe-inspiring, especially if you've ever seen it through a telescope. It looks a lot different. It looks exactly like the pictures you see, you know, but it looks a lot different than the other systems or the other bodies.
You just imagine looking through the telescope. You see that right there? That's Saturn. Where's the rings? There aren't any. That's just what they tell you there is.
It's flat.
Yeah, right? The Flat Saturn Society. Saturn's always cool because, like, it's probably the most unique of all the planets as far as, like, well, we know that every outer planet has rings now, right?
Yes.
But these are the ones that are the most visible. Every other planet's just a circle. You know, like, okay, yeah, Uranus or Neptune is on its side. Woo!
Yeah, like, right.
It's still a ball. Saturn's like the one that's like got a hula hoop going. And you're like, yeah, work it. Saturn. I'm like channeling John right now, I think is what's going on.
We also, Cassini also discovered that Enceladus,
the planet?
Enceladus is another one of
moon.
The moons of Saturn. It discovered that there was water ice in one of its massive plumes coming off of it.
What's a plume?
So it would be materials being ejected from the surface into space.
So a volcano.
I'll have a picture up. You'll see, like, kind of like a volcano. Yeah,
could
but,
be a plume.
But, I mean, I guess it would technically be a volcano, or it could be, but it's being shot up so high that it's going out into space.
Oh, okay, that's a big plume.
Yeah.
Although you have to, like, is there any atmosphere on Enceladus? Is there?
Well, there'd be no. There's no atmosphere, and mostly because the gravity would be so low, it would be very easy to get something off the surface. But that led us to learn about the subsurface oceans on Enceladus, and led us to start thinking, like, you know, that these moons and these giant planets could be harboring life too, or could at least have the potential to be habitable. So,
yeah,
that goes
That's
with
good. We gotta put people somewhere.
That goes with Titan too. We learned that it's very, very chemically active. It has like all the chemicals that you need for life, basically.
Right on. I know if I were to go somewhere, like in space, to colonize somewhere, I'd want to colonize some planet that sounded cool. Enceladus, Titan? Oh, yeah, sign me up. Where are you from? Titan? Nice.
Right.
You ever coming back? Probably not.
You'd expect all the well, you, assuming that there are some, you'd expect whatever creatures living there to be huge, right?
Yeah.
Right. It'd be funny if they're just like little tiny. <you know? laughs>
I am king here now. Why? I'm just call me Gulliver. You'll get it when you read Earth material. You'll get it. I don't know, like as big as we were into Juno, like over the course of the last 2 years because of all the stuff that we're learning about Jupiter, I'm surprised I didn't hear about Cassini like until we did, you know, or until we started talking about it. I figured something that was launched in 1997, I would hope I would have paid more attention to it, but as you can see, didn't.
Well, I think it probably stemmed from Juno, right? Like we started talking about Juno and then looking a little further into that stuff on Waiting for Players.
So what does the grand finale mean? That just sounds like something kind of epic. What does it mean?
So grand finale is just the fancy name that NASA gave this, I guess, final mission, you could call it. So they rearranged the orbit, and it was going to take, I believe, 45 more orbits around Saturn,
mm-hmm.
and then finally plunge into its atmosphere, which it will be doing on the 15th. So tomorrow, if you're listening to this,
when it comes
release,
out.
Yeah. Or it's already happened. Yeah. But, the reason for doing that is Cassini was, after all this time, finally running out of fuel. So, like, the fuel that they used to maneuver it around and change its orbit and stuff. After running out of fuel, then they would just not be able to control it anymore. And who knows what would happen. Like, it would probably be in a stable orbit for a while, but
it would decay eventually.
Hundreds years from now, it eventually could crash land into one of the moons. And the fear is if there's life on there or we seed life on it because of it. Either way, we didn't want it to crash into any of the moons. So we just turned it around into deorbit into Saturn and become part of the planet forever.
Why was there no worry about that? I don't know if you know this question, but why was there no worry about that for Huygens' lander?
About like introducing life.
Yeah.
Well, I'd imagine they went through some kind of sterilization process, but even then, it's not gonna be perfect. Like that's the reason why we can't drive Curiosity too close to where we think water is on Mars, because Mars Curiosity didn't go through that strong of one.
Gotcha.
And being 20 years ago, I doubt they.
About it. Yeah.
Right. I think another big thing would be just like we didn't know Titan was was like that and Enceladus was like that.
Oops.
So you know it may be you know who knows, maybe there's no life there now, but you know, 10,000 years from now when we're long gone, we are the reason why life evolved.
And then
from
they'll
that
have
planet.
Problems pronouncing Huygens. Right on. Well, it's good to know that Cassini's mission, I'd call it a success, wouldn't you?
I mean, definitely.
Especially with the in 2010, they were like, yeah, we'll keep going for another 7 years.
Right.
So, like, you know, that's got to be labeled a success. And, you know, with that amount of success, you wonder what's next for what you've called the Saturnian system. What is next?
Well, actually, I don't think anything is currently planned for the Saturnian system right
Everything
now.
Everything seems to be Mars right now, right?
Mars, the next outer planet mission NASA has planned is the Europa Clipper mission. It's going to launch in the 2020s. So that
sounds like a boat. It does, doesn't it? Like, it sounds like the name of a boat.
Yeah.
Like a yacht or something.
So the point of it is to investigate Jupiter's moon Europa, which is also a very strong candidate for being
habitability.
Right.
Yeah.
So much so that I guess they've decided to put their money towards there versus like Titan or Enceladus.
Yeah.
You know?
It's also closer.
Yeah.
I mean, relative to us, it's closer. Relative to the sun, it's closer, I guess. I don't know.
Right. When you get that far out, I don't know how much. I mean, it's all math then, right? Fuel is negligible at that point, I think, because it's
all
tiny little thrust will move you thousands, millions of miles. You know?
We've seen that in Kerbal.
right. But NASA did definitely use a lot of the stuff that they learned from this mission for the Europa Clipper mission. I'm sure they're taking precautions on it for seeding life. You know? I think they were, I don't know if it was going to be with that mission or not, but they were going to like basically drop something down that would either drill into the surface or like heat through the surface of Europa. Because it has a subsurface ocean, too.
Yeah. I'd like to see a core sample from the European,
right?
The European Peninsula. Here's a core sample.
But further in the future, I know it's, you know, there's always talk about sending similar missions out towards like Uranus and Neptune. The same things. There would be so much that we would discover from that we have no idea about right now, I imagine.
Yeah, like Neptune's spot isn't even a spot. It's like a blemish that exploded years ago, and they're still Neptune's still self-conscious about it. Don't look at my scar.
Well, look how much we learned from New Horizons and Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
We always just assumed Pluto was just a
desolate little
a big
rock.
Ice ball.
Yeah.
You know.
And no, it's got a heart on it.
It does, yeah. Or a whale.
It was waiting to waiting to see us. It put its best heart forward. I would be interested to see any and all data coming back from Saturn as this ends. Before we started this, I sent Adam a picture. Cassini sent us back a bunch of really, really cool pictures. There's one where, like we mentioned, the hexagonal storm
right
at the top of Saturn, but there's one that very closely resembles the pale blue dot picture.
It does.
That Voyager took.
So the whole picture is Saturn backlit from the sun, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it shows all of the rings, even the newly discovered, like, very outer rings that we just barely found out about.
But if you zoom in on that picture, you can see a shining blue little dot.
Yes.
And that's us.
So, I mean,
that's us. That's home.
In that sense, everybody is in that picture.
Yep.
So
that ever was or ever will be.
Right. Yeah.
Which is weird. Oh, when
I
you
feel
think
like
about
we should
it.
End this now with the pale blue dot speech.
Sure. Every young couple in love. Imagine the rivers of blood. I wish I was as cool as Dr. Sagan. No
think,
one's ever going to be
most
that
people
cool.
Do. Yeah.
Maybe Neil deGrasse Tyson. Anyway, is there anything else we got on the Cassini mission before we say goodbye to it?
Oh, I think that was about it. Just kind of wanted to, you know, give it an overview for what's
important.
Going on.
It's
yeah,
cool
it's
to
important.
Know.
It's something that's happening. I'm sure a lot of people are probably going to hear about it on the news or something mm-hmm. and then not really know
what's going on.
Yeah, yeah, not know what it was or that it's been going on for the last 20 years.
So if I'm not mistaken, this is our podcast catcher submission episode.
We should be on iTunes now.
Yeah, so if you heard this there, man, be sure to give us a review and a like. If you saw this on YouTube, please be sure to give us a subscribe over there. And be on the lookout for more of these types of episodes, as well as Science Night's regularly scheduled content.
Yeah, and if there's something you want to hear us talk about or we got something wrong or something,
yeah,
definitely let us know. We will always take criticism.
Absolutely. But for this and for the rest of the Science Nights, we're going to say goodbye to you and to Cassini.
Bye-bye. Bye.